Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. I am your host for this one, Bob Mackey, and today's topic is Sonic Adventure Part 2. Before I go on, let's see who else is here today with me. Who's right over here?
Escaping from the city, Henry Gilbert.
And our newest guest, special guest.
Michelle Shafir, all the world's gems are mine to keep.
Oh, right. I had a Sonic thing to say. I am the ultimate life form. But Michelle is an internet friend. She went to our second Talking Simpsons live show, and we started following each other on Twitter and sharing sick memes. And through following you, I learned that I don't think anyone knows as much as Sonic about you, at least that I've ever met. So
yeah, a little too much, honestly.
It's okay. But did you pitch this to me, or did I pitch this to you, or like how did this come about?
I think you pitched this to me.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, people don't like when I talk about Sonic the Hedgehog, but I know Jeremy won't because he's a coward. No, he just doesn't care. But I wanted to have a real, true Sonic fan to talk about the 3D Sonic games because you're a bit younger than us, and I think these games are very meaningful to people that are a bit younger than us. And to us, we were just like, I got my Mario. I live in a Mario house. Mm-hmm. I live in the Mario lifestyle.
Sonic is the new thing, and if I did like Sonic, I wouldn't like when they changed it into something that it wasn't before. That was how I felt in 1999.
Yeah, the 3D Sonics definitely like changed up the formula a lot, and I know that I have a nostalgic lens when I play the games over again, but at this point, I think like there's like a lot of pros and cons that come to the Sonic Adventures that people feel very strongly opinionated on.
I would say that I was afraid of offending Michelle because of her Sonic fandom, but she sent me notes that were as comprehensive as my notes normally are. I'm like, okay, good. There, she sees some flaws in this. That's good.
Yeah,
this won't be a battle or
so
a debate.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that.
It's very smart.
So let's talk about Sonic Adventure 2. I want to start with Michelle because she has a real attachment to this game. Like, what does Sonic mean to you? What is your attachment to this game? Where did you find it? Let's hear your Sonic story.
Yeah, so GameCube was like one of the first, it was the actual first console we had in my house growing up. And it was technically my brother's, but a lot of his games I couldn't play for a while because they were rated T for teen, but wow. Sonic was rated E for everyone.
This is a teen game.
Actually, there are some mild lyrics in it. They call Rouge sexy and smooth, and that is a note on the ESRB rating. But
is there a damn in this game?
There's
an utterance
not.
Of damn? Okay.
Or I think actually two of the songs say damn, but only on the official soundtrack and not in the version in-game. But then in Shadow of the Hedgehog, they do have a lot of damns thrown everywhere.
That game earned its tea, but please continue, sorry.
Yeah, so I also really like games with female characters, being a woman, and like there's not too many games that I had where I could like play as a girl, and there's one playable girl character, which is Rouge in this game, and Sonic Adventure 1 had Amy. But just in general, I feel like a lot of the games, the levels and gameplay was super fun for a kid. Like being thrown into Cityscape was one of the most exciting ways to start a game for me back then, and also I love the Chows, and I have a lot. Like, we can talk about Chows more in depth later, but
yeah, I do want to talk about Rouge later because I'm not sure if Rouge is problematic or what, but she's a much stronger character than Amy, who is just like the shopping and boy crazy pink hedgehog in the first game, who just runs away from things. So
he tries to trick Sonic into marrying
her, that
which
happens
is
in
very
this game.
Well done.
Yeah, she loves him. Yeah, I played this on the Dreamcast. My brother was a Dreamcast day one owner, and as the Dreamcast was slowly dying by the end of 2000. When this game came out on it, I believe we'd buy anything, but of course we're going to buy this. Even though we both agreed, but like Sonic Adventure had some problems, didn't it? Like that wasn't the best. And then we got two, we both liked it more in a lot of ways than Sonic Adventure 1 and liked it less in other ways. It was mostly superior to it. And I guess to now that when I play it, it seems a lot more anime than I realized then. And maybe that was what was speaking to me in the positive when I played it in 2000 or 2001.
Oh, boy. I mean, the last boss fight is just the end of an anime where it's like the two characters teaming up together. The song is playing. They're fighting
Super
a big
Saiyan,
thing.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, they both go Super Saiyan. You're right. Yeah. Yes. So as for me, I hate this game. No, it's fine. This game, I wasn't a big fan of it. I remember my two friends at the time, college friends. They were way into Sonic, and I just assumed that they would like this game. So I'm like, oh yeah, guys, this game came out. Did you ever play it? And they're like, oh, it sucks. I'm like, well, if they hate this game, then it has to be bad. But I eventually played it, and because of the Rouge and Knuckles levels, I never made a lot of progress because I hate those, and they sort of force them upon you, where the first game, you could just sort of go through Sonic's and Tails' story without having to touch Knuckles for a while, correct?
Unlock them one at a time, but you can play through all of Sonic's story and then go back and revisit the other characters if you want the true ending. But
in this game, there is a linear path for both the hero and the dark sides, and they basically force you to play those levels, and I really hate those, and I still don't like them very much, but that sort of stopped me from ever finishing this game, and that was my experience with it.
That's really interesting, because I really like the treasure hunting levels, versus I really hated the first-person shooter Tails Eggman levels.
I don't like either, but
that's valid.
I can see what they're... We'll get into it, but I can see what they're trying to do with those treasure hunting levels. I just feel like they could... there's some things missing that I think need to be there.
I will say another thing I didn't like about the adventure game. I don't want to just dump on them, but I didn't like them from my Sonic fan perspective, because it's a generational thing. I was super into the 16-bit ones, but also into Sonic AM, and I was reading the Sonic comics up to about issue 50 or so. So when Sonic Adventure comes out, it basically just like Sega, a Sonic team in Japan doesn't give a crap about what was going on in Archie Comics. Like, why would they? So it does like dozens of things that just toss out all of that continuity, and it just kind of bugged me, especially once he is always Dr. Robotnik to me. Like, but in one scene,
you're never hashtag never Eggman.
Yes, in one scene at the start of Adventure, they're like, hey, Dr. Eggman, I'm Dr. Ivo Robotnik, shit up. And then he call him Eggman. He calls himself Eggman for that time on. I had this argument at my old website, Games Radar, about 5 years ago, when someone was going to do an article about, like, a funny listicle about Dr. Robotnik. And I had to tell them, like, he has been Eggman everywhere for 12 years.
Let it go.
Readers don't know who Robotnik is anymore. Maybe you do, but he's Eggman.
Yeah, there was a song in Sonic Adventure 2 that's just like, I am the Eggman, like, over and over in the background.
I got to that stage, you're right. Yeah, so let's get into the development of this game, and I want to talk a bit about that. So the first Sonic Adventure game, as we talked about in a previous episode, it was developed in a grueling 10-month development cycle. They were making... Sega had never made a 3D game of this ambition before this, and they have not made a 3D Sonic game before this. But with Sonic Adventure 2, they had a good 18 months to put it together, and they sort of had more of an idea of what they wanted the game to be, where Sonic Adventure 1 was sort of just like every idea possible. Sonic Adventure 2 was like, we'll just narrow down on these three different ideas and build from there.
Yeah, you can really see that they responded to the fan feedback there, where, there was like essentially six different gameplay styles, and of course one of those was fishing, which everyone loved. And you could see that they were just trying to perfect what they already had in the second one.
I don't know if you agree with me, Michelle, but I felt that Big the Cat is sort of like the Jar Jar Binks of Sonic Adventure, and that he's a scapegoat. There are many things going on that are worse than Big, but he is like the identifiable problem.
Yeah, like the E-102 Gamma stages aren't great either. Like the shooting mechanics are like still so
I
early on.
I completely forgot that guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's dead now. Sorry, spoiler, but he's a bird.
He kills himself in a glorious suicide, I think, of the story.
Right. Yeah, he died for our sins, actually.
No, I think they really... They were trying out so many things with Sonic Adventure 1 that it's a very scattershot game. And so this was part one of an unending series of how do we refine a 3D Sonic game to work? And it's something about the speed of Sonic. It's so hard to really translate correctly. Yeah.
So this game, directed by Takashi Iizuka, he is sort of like the Sonic Team head honcho.
Still the guy, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he is. He moved on from being a director. Like, the last game of the Sonic 3D games he directed was Shadow the Hedgehog. Not a great note to go out on. I think the last game he actually directed was the Nights into Dreams reboot, which is also pretty bad, pretty bad.
Yeah.
But now he's like the main producer for all the Sonic games. Mm. And this was revealed at an E3 2000 trailer, and it just with a lot of like enigmatic keywords flashing on the screen, like truth and lies and dark and light, and just
it was
making
actually, light slash shadow.
Oh, okay.
Everyone says that that may have been like a hint, because it was like, yeah, everything was like polar opposites, like justice evil, but instead of like light dark, it was like light shadow.
But did they reveal Shadow in that trailer?
Yeah,
no?
You could see him at the end. They didn't name him. One of the things about that trailer was like, you never saw Tails. There's people thought that he wasn't part of the game for a while, but Shadow was there, and everyone's like, oh, who's this dark Sonic? Is the idea behind that?
I noticed in the trailer they were really zeroing in on all the more fast-paced elements of gameplay.
Yeah.
So I think this was the start of the Sonic cycle, as they call it, the Sonic ring cycle of, I hate this Sonic game. Oh, it's new one. It's promising. Mm. Oh, this looks cool. Wait, what's this? Oh, I hate this game.
Yeah, we go through that a lot. Yes,
it is.
Are you still trapped in the cycle?
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up. Like, I did kind of like Generations, even though it's like pretty flawed. But
I
like,
really like Generations.
There's like
a
lot going on that's like good, but it's kind of like, I mean, it's nothing new. It's just like remastered the good levels. So
well, by redoing the good levels again, they're like, we figured it out. We got pretty close by redoing.
But then they did Sonic Forces, and it's like the Sonic OC game, which is not.
You can finally have your main in the game.
Yeah, I can make like a furry you. Whatever Sonic fan probably wants.
To be honest, yeah, I think that I think Lost World was an all right. That was an all right 3D
Sonic.
That
was the Wii U exclusive for a while. I don't know if it still is.
It came to the 3DS because I feel like I played it there and it was not a good gameplay experience.
Yeah, nothing stays on the Wii U.
The Wii U version was a little better, as I recall. I haven't played it a ton since then, but they kind of... Well, Lost World had they ripped off Galaxy, Mario Galaxy. If I may attack, Sonic is Mario. But no, but it did have like, we're on the more contained spheroid type idea on that game. Plus they still would stick in 2D stages, which is them realizing like, people, let's give them at least a little 2D in these games.
Yeah, I like when they went back to 2D occasionally, especially with Generations. You got like the 2D levels and the 3D levels, which are great. So, as Henry said earlier, this was developed in San Francisco by the newly branded Sonic Team USA. Their first project was the localization for Sonic Adventure 1, and they fixed
a lot
of problems.
Yeah.
This is their second project, and you can see a lot of the influence of San Francisco in this game, especially with that first level. So Sonic Team basically split. USA came to SF to develop Sonic games, and Yuji Naka, one of the creators of Sonic, stayed in Japan to develop things like Phantasy Star Online. I think like Yuji Naka was done with Sonic after Sonic and Knuckles. He was like, Knights will be my thing, and then Knights didn't go anywhere, and he was like, well, fuck, I'll just do something else then. You take Sonic.
Yeah, Phantasy Star was the better of these two properties to me, though I mean, they had, instead of trying to figure out how do you make Sonic work in 3D, Phantasy Star was like, well, let's just do like Diablo. Like, just fuck it. Let's just do that. And they were great at it. But
and that was a super influential online game,
sure. You wouldn't have Monster Hunter without PSO.
Yeah, for sure. Or any like real console MMO experience, I think. Mm-hmm. So this game, so the first Sonic Adventure, there was like a 9-month gulf in release between the Japanese and American releases because it wasn't a launch game for the Dreamcast, but it came out very shortly after the Dreamcast launch. It was like Christmas of 98 in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then it came out in 9/9/99. The biggest entertainment day in history, of course, in America. This game had a worldwide release, Sonic Adventure 2, on June 18, 2001. This is not a great time for Sega.
A summer release.
Yeah. I think at this point, the Dreamcast, earlier that spring maybe, was basically Sega was like, we're done with the Dreamcast. The last game will be a hockey game. And it was kind of cool that they at least put this out on the Dreamcast instead of saying this will be a GameCube exclusive. This is sort of like their we're sorry to the fans, I guess.
Yeah, it came to the GameCube, like, it says, like, I think February 2002, which
That's
was,
right.
like, pretty shortly after, and it was one of the biggest, like, Sonic launches for a it was the first Sonic launch on a game on a Nintendo console.
It was.
That's true.
It was quite a shock as a Nintendo fanboy to be like, this has happened. This is, my youth is dead now. But my house was a Dreamcast house. And so when we found out, I believe it was January 2001 where they made it official, like, this is over.
Yeah, that's when I got my Dreamcast.
And it was just waiting the next 6 months of, I guess we're going to have some more games while we wait for this to die. And then we get Sonic, and you're pinning a lot of hopes and dreams on Sonic, but you also know it didn't. It's not going to save the system. PSO didn't save the system, and Sonic's not going to either. It's dead.
Yeah, and eventually, I mean, it was a big deal for Sonic to be on a Nintendo console, but I think the biggest deal was Sonic and Mario finally in the same game, but that was an Olympics game. Yep. But just the photo, yeah, it was a real photo of them shaking hands. It was like Donald Rumsfeld and Saddam Hussein.
I don't think Sonic would ever shake the hand of Mario. He's like a really bad sport.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. In his theme song for the game, it doesn't matter. He's like, it doesn't matter if you're like wrong or right. It's like man. All about his way.
He's all about just his own morality.
Yeah.
He's protecting. Oh man, Sonic.
He's kind of a dick.
He's really mean to Tails.
Do we know where Sonic falls on the D&D alignment chart?
Definitely chaotic.
Chaotic neutral.
I think he's chaotic good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say chaotic good.
Chaotic neutral.
Surprisingly, Knuckles is not chaotic.
Knuckles is very lawful good. Yeah. I mean, he's just like all about protecting the Master Emerald. So
that's true, but he's not chaotic, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that was a joke I was going for.
I just want to make sure everyone knew.
Gotcha.
This was re-released. So the GameCube version and all of the HD versions are the battle version of this game, where I could not go over all the changes. If you go to like the wiki, it is literally like 20,000 words of all of the tweaks that they did. Michelle, do you know like what are the more substantial additions to this version, the battle version?
The only important thing is that they added the black market to the Chao Garden, which was a very big deal for me.
Is that where you buy your Chao fentanyl or something? Or?
That's where you buy like all the eggs and all stuff. But yeah, there's like a lot to go over in that list. They made it like cleaner. I don't think it's like even worth it to go over like each detail. Obviously, they added the two-player mode, which Sonic Adventure 1 didn't have.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Sonic Adventure 2 on the Dreamcast didn't have. And another major thing is like they took away online, and there are probably some other.
You can't do online on a GameCube. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I guess you could. What could you download on the Dreamcast version? Maybe like I don't know.
It was more about like scoreboards.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Like leaderboard stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, the battle mode. That was why we bought it a second time, was to play the battle mode. And it was a good little time. But I guess really, though, it was just the novelty of owning a Sonic game on a Nintendo system.
It was a weird time to be alive.
Yeah. And I mean, this game, it's not as glitchy as Sonic Adventure, the USA version, was. But 2 definitely needed some cleanup for the re-release. And then when this got re-released again, I recall the PS3 Xbox version of it. The battle was included, but you had to pay $3 more for it.
Oh, so I forget.
It wasn't the full version. You'd got, like, I think it was $15 for just what you got on the Dreamcast. And then if you wanted the two-player battle mode, you had to pay an extra $3.
What a ripoff.
I think, but at the very least, it did port over to the next gen. So I think I bought it on the 360, and now it's also on Xbox One, so I now own this game on 4 platforms, including PC.
I have the PC one, and it's pretty good. The port of Sonic Adventure 1 for the PC, I just played that for an old episode, and it's not good. But the PC port of this is fine.
Mm-hmm. I think the port of Sonic Adventure 1 is also in, like, 4.3, so you have, like, the frames on either side.
You've got a weird, like, Sonic border going around your game. Let's talk about the differences from the first Sonic Adventure game. As I said before, that this game, Sonic Adventure 1, it's like, we don't have any time. Just do everything. We don't have any time. Do every idea you have.
We can't be choosy on these ideas. We can't delete a stage if you made it as a test. We got to just do it.
It's like, you have a prototype for a racing game? Put that in this too. So Sonic Adventure 2 doubles down on 3 established gameplay styles from the first game. Action platforming, you get that with Shadow and Sonic. Shooting, you get that with Eggman and Tails. And scavenger hunting, you get that with Rouge and Knuckles. And they all are sort of upgraded versions, improved versions of what was found in Sonic Adventure 1.
Yeah, I think the As a fan of Tails, Tails was my favorite character in the classic ones.
Great.
I love him, but he was sitting in a cockpit for the entire game. I was like, but I wanted to run around his Tails. Yeah. You at least can do that in the battle modes. But. Yeah.
To be fair, the Sonic Adventure 1 Tails levels were just like a race between him and Sonic. So yeah. It wasn't like you were getting anything new there, but I hated the shooter modes in Sonic Adventure 2. And I just like, yeah, I hated seeing Tails in the cyclone, not the tornado. Mm-hmm. But.
We'll get into it, yes. There's a lot going on with that. So there's no Adventure Hub, which is a blessing, I consider, because the Adventure Hub in Sonic Adventure 1 was quirky and kind of had some personality, but it was really just brain-dead puzzles, like bring this token to this thing and then it'll open up another level. Now do it with three other characters. Yeah, it was very interesting.
It was poorly designed, and like, for example, the Mystic Ruins Forest was like, I don't know if you guys have like spent much time running around in there, but there's like no like landmarks of like how to get around.
Yeah.
It's just a big old maze.
And you always have to go back into that cave, right?
It's not very fun. Or, like, there's no like cool secrets to find. Like there's like a few things scattered, but it's not enough to kind of justify this being like an immersive experience.
It's true. I think they saw the Mario 64 castle and thought that was like a good idea. It also could kill time, but also there were lots of fun secrets in that castle.
Yeah, I think a big difference there though was in Mario 64, perhaps for just technological reasons, there's basically no one there in it. There's like sort of a shadow toad
toad
in the wall.
Ghost.
Yeah, but other than that, well, meanwhile, they populate Sonic's hub world with humans, and when you... It's freakish enough to see a 3D Sonic because you really hadn't seen that. I mean, okay, yeah, in Sonic R or in Sonic Jam stages, you had seen a 3D Sonic, but this was a 3D Sonic like you'd never seen before. He's already weird-looking to a degree, and then if you see him next to humanoid people, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Why aren't they all panicking?
That's why the less he's around people, the better, as he is in this game.
Yeah, the NPCs were not executed very well, though I will say my favorite one, there's only like one interaction I like with the NPCs in that game, and it's that there's this mom who lives in the casino, essentially, and like all of her lines are like, I go to the casino every night. And there's you can find her son, who's always like,
right.
Oh, I haven't seen my mom in like days. Like, she hasn't come out of the casino yet. And like, all of their lines are just about how his mom has this gambling addiction.
So somebody on the staff was working through something at the time.
I think they played Majora's Mask, and they were like, how can we make this Sonic themed?
Yeah, wow, you're right. It's rather Majora's Mask as well. Or I guess maybe Majora's Mask is Sonic Adventure, because it came out after the first Sonic Adventure.
Oh, yeah. The one story I remember is a guy getting really mad that another guy is bringing a different girl to the amusement park every day. He's like, he's with another woman!
I do remember. There's also this woman who's in a station square, and she's like, I haven't seen my husband, I hope he's okay. And then you go to the Mystic Ruins Forest, and he's like, I'm like so lost, I'm never getting home.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, well, I'm not telling this lady.
Solve your own problems.
That's why it was great that Adventure just dumped those NPCs, dumped the hub world. It's just stage after stage after stage, a linear travel through stages.
And you can choose either the light path, or is it Hero and Dark or Light or Dark?
It's Hero and Dark.
And each set of levels unfolds from there in a linear fashion, as I said, as I complained about having to suffer through Knuckles levels and Rouge levels. I feel like this is an issue for me because I love the Sonic and Shadow levels, but they are so stingy about giving you those. Like, I didn't know the level order from memory, so I'm like, okay, get to the Sonic level. It's like, nope, now you're Tails. Now your Knuckles, now your Tails again. I want the Sonic stages.
Shadow has the least number of stages in the game, which has actually pissed me off, just because I think when they marketed it, it's like, you know, Sonic versus Dark Sonic, which ended up being Shadow.
Yeah.
And Eggman just has like so many levels, and I fucking hate the Eggman levels.
Yeah, you know, that's a double lie of an advertisement, because if you had played Sonic Adventure and you were pissed off of like, well, wait, I don't want to keep talking about Mario, but if you play Mario 64, you are Mario the entire time and you get the Mario experience. If you bought Sonic Adventure thinking, I'm going to be Sonic this whole time and get Sonic stages, and you don't get many of those, then if you see a trailer for a game that's like, well, you've got two Sonics in this, you're like, then I'm definitely going to have a ton of Sonic stages in this.
I'm seeing double here.
Four Sonics. And yet, they are very stingy with them, and they repeat a couple as well, just to fill up on time. And I think the Sonic stages peak early with City Escape as well.
I just came off of Sonic Adventure 1, and this still has some of those same problems, but I feel like they build in safety guards for some of those problems. So in Sonic Adventure 1, you could always, it was really easy to just go off into oblivion, like fall into a pit. It wasn't telegraphed well. In this game, I feel like they give you some chances. Like, I found myself going off of pits, but then a gust of wind would blow me up, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. Like, I feel like they recognized that was an issue. They didn't make better levels, but they at least like put the bumpers in for bumper bowling or whatever my analogy is for that.
Yeah, I think they learned a little bit there, but it is a tough balancing act. I wouldn't want to take on that kind of responsibility of, well, how do you... The 3D platformers were at least, like, they were well established by 99 and into 2000, but what in 2001, but they never moved as fast as Sonic is expected to be. So how can you go that fast and also figure out platforming? Anytime you have to slow down and actually platform in a Sonic stage, even with the homing jump, it can be tough.
And yeah. I think one of the things that makes that really difficult is the camera in both games.
Oh yeah,
which is like, you know, really the like seventh playable character in a way, but it doesn't actually let you.
That's you're always anything. Yeah, you're always controlling the camera alongside with whatever character you're controlling at the same time.
It's really interesting. It's like the game tries to make the camera like a cinematic thing, and like especially like in the Sonic levels, you'll notice like you jump to a new platform, it'll like completely like pan with you. And at this point, like, I know where all the camera pans are, but like I've played this with friends who like have never played the game before, and they just have no idea like how to keep that momentum going when it just keeps shifting, and then you like turn it around like yourself, and then it'll just shift right back.
Yeah,
to move.
And you also, I mean, so the I guess the battle version does have a camera you can move. Maybe the Dreamcast one does too, but you can only move it left and right. You can't actually move it like on the y-axis, which also sucks.
No, the Sonic stages as well. I worked with a Games Radar, a gentleman named Justin Towle, who is big time Sonic fan, fun guy. And at least at the time we worked together, he held multiple world records in Sonic and Sonic Adventure games in speed runs. And I saw why he loved it, of like, yeah, you play this 800 times and you perfect your run. But I'm somebody who I want to have fun the first time and not have to like plan out my space through it or test my best time against myself in kind of an arcadey fashion. So I always felt like they even a well-made 3D Sonic stage was not made for me so much.
Yeah, the camera doesn't, like, it's not very much pace to go with you at the Sonic and Shadow levels. And even the treasure hunting levels, like, you don't have to go as fast, but, like, if you're trying to look around, it's kind of difficult.
Which is the point of those stages, is to look around.
They're so confusing. Let's go through some more comparisons. So I think we all talked about this, but they are trying... it seems like they were addressing criticisms of the first game, which is funny because there were a lot of the same issues, because this was the era... And I believe it was Penny Arcade that popularized the term, and I said it on the last one, but it was Sonic and his shitty friends. Like, nobody wanted the shitty friends. I like Tails. I like Knuckles. Rouge is fine, but their gameplay was not what people wanted. They wanted the Sonic and Shadow gameplay, they wanted the Sonic gameplay. They didn't even know about Shadow, but again, Sega did not have the resources to make a lot of Sonic levels that would build a substantial game, because those are the most resource-intensive levels, because you're building a lot of geometry that you're going through very fast, so you have to put a lot of work into those. Building an Eggman stage, less work. It's just these boxy rooms where you shoot things.
Mm-hmm. Or a treasure hunt stage. It's several rooms you're going to spend a lot of time in. And I know multiple producers have said outright of like, yeah, look, it's a lot of real estate to make, and it takes a while. But also, I do wonder if they're like, well, what? That's like having every meal be chocolate cake, and it just gets the specialness of a... If it was just 4-hour campaign of just those Sonic stages, I feel like 90 minutes in, you'd be like, whew, okay.
But I mean, that's kind of what the 2D Sonics are like. It's a Sonic after Sonic, and they just get progressively harder.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, though, they stick you underwater and make you like wait a long time. Yeah, and just go, okay, I'm trying not to die here.
Find a bubble.
But I guess Sonic Mania was what people wanted all along, right?
Yeah, and it was great. Sonic Mania was very good. Though I stopped playing when I got to a stage where I just kept like instantly dying. I was like, this part wasn't bug tested too well.
Did you play Sonic Mania?
I don't think I beat it either. Honestly, the 2D Sonics are a lot more like challenging.
They are
tough.
Pay
like a lot more attention, which I don't always have.
So let's get to the gameplay. As we said, there are three different types of gameplay. And the first one, of course, is the Sonic and Shadow gameplay. And this is what you would expect if you've been alive for the past 20 years. You know what this is like. You run forward very fast. You attack enemies and you grind on things. That's the newest addition to this game. With
soap shoes, baby.
With licensed shoes, right?
Yep, soaps.
Are they still around?
I don't know.
Huh.
feel like they would have gone bankrupt by now. Yes. I'm not too sure how many people want like specific shoes for grinding on rails.
That astounded me because I'm like, what, you grind on rails without a skateboard? Is this something people do? Because the shoes are made to grind without.
I've never known someone with soap shoes for actual use. But I'm not the extreme target audience. Of Sonic Adventure.
I imagine that probably killed children, so they took them off the market. Like, don't jump onto rails with just your shoes.
I mean, I gotta give it to Sega for getting the, you know, closing that deal and getting some much needed funding to their game.
Yeah,
see all the ads in the background of the Obsidian Escape
everywhere. Yeah,
yeah. I believe they took the shoes out though, because in the HD version, there's no more soap ads. So they might have redesigned his shoes, so they're not like a literal licensed shoe or footwear.
I think they actually like. Fixed some issues where, like, in a lot of the early cutscenes, like, obviously, I think a lot of people know the fun fact of, like, you know, Sonic has his, like, classic Michael Jackson red shoes, but then they got the soap deal kind of late in the game, but they didn't finish, like, fixing all the textures.
Yeah.
So you can, like, catch some points where, like, oh, those are, like, his original shoes in the when he's jumping out of the plane in the very first cutscene. And I think in the HD ports, they fixed most of those. I'm not too sure if they took out the soap advertisements, but they definitely like patched up all the issues they had.
Sonic's concave shoes are just so weird.
It's really
weird. Yeah, they're pretty grotesque. I like the classic red boots, but when he became like Sonic Adventure Sonic, his feet grew like five times their size.
Like the Grinch.
Yes, exactly. And we also have Shadow adding some moral complexity to the series finally at long last. And he's sort of like is like a rollerblader guy with jet shoes.
Yeah,
and
he's like someone who would probably shop at Hot Topic.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
He doesn't waste his time running and moving his feet against the ground. No way.
Yeah.
Chaos control everywhere.
So yeah. Shadow is Hot Topic and Sonic is Pacific Sunwear in this dichotomy.
Yeah.
Sonic didn't have a Vegeta till this point, though I guess, well...
Oh, man, that is Vegeta.
Knuckles is his Piccolo, and then that would make Shadow Vegeta. He definitely is.
I guess everything in the series is... Tails is Krillin, right?
Yep. Man. Yeah, totally.
Chi-Chi is Amy. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I'll podcast about this later. I've got a grand theory.
But, yeah, the Shadow stages are cute and all. I like his... He definitely... smolders with rage all the time at the world, and though how can he? His whole journey through this game is kind of a very anime one of like amnesia, revenge, recontextualized revenge to know that he was not supposed to get revenge on people, save the world, heroic sacrifice, but not really.
Yeah.
If I was Sonic, I'd be really pissed off if the ultimate life form was the opposite of me. I'd be like, that's insulting.
I think it's really interesting that like. I don't know. You'd think that the ultimate life form was like maybe modeled after Sonic the Hedgehog because he's great, but you find out in the game that Shadow was made like 50 years earlier, and Sonic is like 16 years old, so Shadow came first. So that's kind of weird.
That's true.
We will get into the story because I have a lot of questions, and I will have questions after we're done talking too.
But okay, the stages of Sonic, his first one, Cityscape, is my favorite of the game, and I think they started the best there. And I have a funny Cityscape story of that. I was at the 25th anniversary party of Sonic at San Diego Comic-Con, where they both revealed Sonic Mania and the game that would end up being Sonic Forces.
I'm so sorry.
And so not only did I get to see live the Sonic's ring cycle begin again, if people like, no, Project Sonic 2017, they're really going to figure out Sonic. I just know it, guys. They're going to do it. But everybody excited for Sonic Mania, and they were all satisfied of like, oh, this is the real game. Okay, this is what I was waiting for. But... before they did that, they said, guys, we're going to do a sing-along. You all know the words anyway, but follow the bouncing Sonic. And they play they have a cover band play City Escape live. And it's hundreds of Sonic fans in the House of Blues in San Diego singing City Escape. It's so weird. Follow me.
Well, were they serving chili dogs at that event?
Tons of free chili dogs. So. Sonic fans in an enclosed space eating all the chili dogs they can eat.
Every girl's dream.
Yeah.
Yes. The Blues are now dead.
Yeah. Admittedly, that song is a banger, and like, anyone should like go off.
It's
the second
great.
You hear it. Yeah.
I also love the main theme for this this game.
Live and Learn.
Live and Learn. Yeah, yeah. It's good.
It really makes like a great like penultimate moment.
Yeah.
With the.
But not every Sonic and Shadow stage is created equal. I the jungle stage I liked all right. That's
Sonic or Shadows. These are both good.
They're kind of the same, right? I think I like Sonic's more, just personally. And but those space stages, I just watched a full gameplay play of this. I didn't play it myself, but just watching it brought back, like, I just I tensed up in memory of, like, I played these forever because they fucking sucked and it took forever.
Yeah, pretty difficult. But I think, Sonic definitely had the best levels of, like, between him and Shadow. Like, Metal Harbor was great. Pyramid Cave was also, like, pretty fun, though there were some times that kind of slowed down when you had to, like, pick up that little key to put in the lock. That was not great. But even, like, Crazy Gadget and Final Rush, they're a lot more difficult, though I think they did some interesting things that were kind of ambitious, like the part with the gravity and Crazy Gadget, which was very, like, Galaxy-ish, but...
But before Galaxy.
Yeah. Saving it at first.
There were some cool... Yeah, I agree. There were some cool concepts in the space areas there,
Yeah, people seem to sing the praises of Final Rush online a lot when it comes to this game.
I think, to be fair, if you compare the space levels of, like, Sonic and then the other kind of gameplay of, like, the shooters versus the treasure hunting, like, well, Sonic and the action stages are best overall, but it's just, like, not as frustrating as, like... treasure hunting, like, in all space and trying to find the right planet.
Even if you jump off into nowhere, it's still like, I'm not as frustrated as when I'm trying to follow an emerald radar.
While there's an alarm going off. Yes. Can we move on to the Knuckles and Rouge stuff? Do you have anything more to say about Sonic and Shadow?
No, I mean, those were just, they were fun stages. When I had to repeat a couple, that's also when I was like, come on. I expected at least original stuff. But they repeat multiple stages, not just for the Sonic and Shadow guys.
So Knuckles and Rouge, of course, these are very similar to the ones from the last game, the Knuckles stages. I feel like these are better designed than the Sonic Adventure 1 stages in that this is sort of the Sonic team's interpretation of Zelda dungeons in the Sonic context.
You can definitely see that in the aquatic mine level. It's pretty much the water temple.
Why would you want to recreate the water temple?
Like, what's the thing people hate the most about Zelda? Let's do that. I mean,
don't think the water temple was that bad.
I'm one of those people,
it was
too.
Like, well done. Like, well designed.
I mean, it's fine and all. I had a better time with it the second time I played through it on 3D. And the third time I played through it was on the 3DS version. And that's where I could just tap on and off my boots and not have to go pause, pause, pause. This actually, back to the Dragon Ball thing, Rouge would be Bulma. They have a Dragon Ball radar for their emeralds.
Well, so. There's a lawsuit pending. So
I didn't watch Dragon Ball, but I can make some, like, Gurren Lagann comparisons.
I want to hear them all.
Yeah, so Sonic is Kamina.
Yes.
And Tails is whatever the main guy's name is. But he's, like, you know, believe in the youth.
That little wiener kid,
Like the Simon.
Yes. Yeah. So ultimately, spoilers, Sonic.
Rouge is Yoko.
Sonic dies and they build it like. What? Say it again?
Sorry. Rouge is Yoko because she has boob physics.
That is true. so ultimately, then Sonic has to die for them to have a true cause to fight for. Is that how it works?
Yeah, but also I think the spiral, like the spiral guy, not the spiral king, is essentially Shadow because he's so fucking angsty.
Man. I hope anyone out there understands this.
I think there's a bit of crossover of anime fans and Sonic fans.
We'll do it on What a Cartoon, I swear. But yeah, you talked about boob physics. Let's get into that. In my notes, I wrote a little something for Daddy because I think, and this is like, I love furries. Furries are great. I think Sonic Team was like, we know what furries are now. Let's make a character to appeal to, our male audience.
We hear you out there.
Yes. We've got your letters. Stop sending them.
Well, in the Sonic games from the beginning, when their pitch for the original Sonic game, there was a character in it based on Madonna, a human woman who was kind of supposed to be the sex symbol of the game or the little something for Daddy. But they cut her out of it, so they didn't have... Amy was your kid sister or just annoying. Like, she was not... She is the only girl in the game. She was not supposed to be a sex symbol. Like, Rouge was the first, really.
Yeah.
And that's what that... They did it through... They decided not to have a humanoid person be sexy like they planned originally with Madonna. Instead, they go with Rouge, which, like, proportionally, it's just freaks me out, I have to say. Like,
yeah. Admittedly, as someone like who grew up with this game and like was looking for games with like female characters, Rouge does have more agency than like Amy Rose does.
That is true.
Like, she like does work for the government.
She's a badass, actually.
Yeah. Neither game does pass the Bechdel test, but it's fine. The only thing like that I think they kind of regressed on in Sonic Adventure 2 with the treasure hunting levels is the fact that in Sonic Adventure 1, you have like the three shards of the emerald that you're looking for. But in Sonic Adventure 2, it would only ping, like, the one you're looking for at a time. Versus in Sonic Adventure 1, like, if you're near, like, the third one, but you haven't found the first two, it'll still tell you you're near one. So you could, like, pass things, and, like, it just wouldn't even beep, and it's just a little frustrating trying to go fast.
I'm so bad at these stages. I feel like even though they're small and I've been playing 3D games for like 20 years, I'm so terrible at them.
I wouldn't touch begin with a 10-foot clown pole. But I think I can get from a gameplay standpoint why they made that decision, the change from 1 to 2, is because they wanted to guide you through what they wanted to make you get the emeralds in a certain order. And maybe, too, in the old one, what if the zones, like, kind of crossed over with each other?
It could be confusing if you have, like one thing on yellow, one thing on green, and then you keep going back and forth and they switch. Mm. But it's still just frustrating if you've ever, like, flown past, like, a shard of the emerald and you're like, wait, what was that? And you just turn around and it's, like, right there.
Yeah, after you've been climbing around on one, like, rock forever, like, am I supposed to dig here? Am I here digging here? What the hell?
It's actually in the next room. So do you know if these are these always in the same place every time you play?
No, they're randomized, which I think makes it really difficult to speed run these, and like, people are pretty frustrated about it. But there's like, I think like between 18 to 25 locations stage, and like each thing has like 3 clues. It's like, it always gets like a little wonky when you get to space with Rouge, and like they have the clues that are like backwards. It's like all the opposite of where it is.
Oh my god!
So like some of them are like written backwards, and then some of them are like not under the moon or something a little cheeky for you.
Jesus. These are mind games they're playing. I mean, so we didn't talk about the scoring system. It's really harsh. Yeah. I was like consistently getting E's on every stage.
Well,
yes.
You aren't a gamer, Bob.
That's true. I should be fired from this. But can you explain the scoring system? It's just it's not very explicit like what you're scored on. There's a finite amount of rings in a level. There's a finite amount of animals to rescue. Like, how does that work exactly?
Yeah, I don't know it that well in the sense that I also do pretty poorly because I like to have fun. But so it's different for each character. I know that there are some conditions, like if you get all the rings in a level, you get an automatic A, but at the same time, some of the rings are in places where you physically can't get to, because that's like a fun little game design quirk. For Eggman and Tails levels, I know it's stuff like, obviously, the more people you shoot, like, at the same time, you can, like, lock on to, like, I don't know, 16, I think it's in
there. Yeah, a lot of enemies at once.
So, like, you know, the more things you do of that, the higher your score is. For treasure hunting, if you get a hint, because you have, like, all those computers, like, telling you where things are, the more hints you get, like, the lower your score is, kind of like handicaps and golf or something.
That's the only way to really figure things out, though. You know, you need those hints.
That's cruel.
Like, theoretically, you could, like, get one and then know it well enough to find where it is and still, like, do it fast, because also time is an element.
Gotta go fast.
Like, everything.
Oh, man, yeah. Time was bad. Time was not on my side in this game. And did you ever, I swear, you probably did not unlock. So Green Hill Zone is, like, the ultimate reward that you have to be... You have to become one with Sonic, I think, to even achieve this goal. You have to get all the emblems in the game, and I believe that entails, like, you know, basically just doing a perfect run on every stage, right?
Well, you have to get 180 emblems. I don't think you actually have to ace everything. So, you know how, like, every stage has 5 modes? It's, like, a normal playthrough, then it's get 100 rings and find the lost Chao, and then there's something, and then there's, like, quote-unquote hard mode. So I think you just have to pass, I want to say. Well, there might be something else where it is, like, you have to get all A's.
I have not met another human
but
who
it's
has
like
done
180.
That.
And, like, also you get emblems for stuff like Chao's, I'm pretty sure. Like, if you evolve a Chao, you get an emblem when you come back.
I never set foot in Green Hill Zone. And
I could never.
It did drive me nuts, the idea of it, of just like, this is all Sonic fans. The older Sonic fans want this, and you're not letting us have it.
Get
like,
good at our game, Henry. Yeah.
No. So mean. That's way more mean than, like, what it takes to unlock Luigi in the first Super
Mario Galaxy. Yeah, I mean, those Manta Ray stages suck, but I can probably do them with some practice.
Sure, yeah.
So more about these Rouge and Knuckles stages, and I keep wanting to call her Rogue because no one can spell Rouge online. they are very much more designed than the Sonic Adventure 1 versions of these. But I think they really just need like a Zelda-style map as part of the UI for these stages. Like, there are maps in the stages, but they're sort of like maps in an airport, like you are here. It's like a texture on the wall, and those textures can't convey the info you need.
And I think they are only present for the levels that they have in the pyramid. I forget what they're called, but it's probably something.
The ones where you have to lower the water level and raise the water level.
It's like Death Chamber and Rouge has like Egg Quarters. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And so you have like the like red, blue, green, like triangles of the pyramid, but like all the other stages you're kind of lost in, especially with the space ones where you're going like up and down, you have no idea where anything is. Like those are a lot more challenging.
They're pretty rough.
And plus, like in annoying Zelda dungeons, there's also occasionally ghosts that just fuck with you, like that will just grab you and stop you from doing something.
What is with the weird like Halloween theming around Knuckles in this game? Like Pumpkin Hill Zone, and then there are ghosts in every level that give these weird like kind of jump scares.
By his past.
That's true.
Like we all are.
we're all little Knuckles inside, but yeah. I just didn't understand that he's also we didn't even talk about the rapping in the game, which was like infamous. I think it's become like people have now embraced it, like the Donkey Kong rap.
Yeah, it's like definitely a fan favorite. Like the Ghost's Pumpkin Scoop is the one for Pumpkin Hill, and I think they're all by this guy Hunted P, and he actually still makes raps about Knuckles on some YouTube channel out there for the fans.
Nice.
If you're listening, Sega,
put a stop to this man. Copyright infringement.
That sounds like the Stan Bush in Transformers thing of just like Stan Bush was famous for doing Transformers songs in the 80s, and then he kind of didn't do. The only time you hear about him again, he's like, "Well, I made a new Transformers song for 2008," and only Transformers fans care.
Yeah, but I think it's always fun to like actually listen to the lyrics of those. In fact, my favorite lyric for the Pumpkin Hill song is when he says, "The Great Emerald's power allows me to feel." Like he doesn't even say anything after that. Just, like, it like, allows him to feel.
let that sit with you for a while and figure that out. I ain't gonna let it get to me. I'm just gonna creep. Pumpkin Hill, I got to find my lost piece. I know that it's here, I can sense it in my feet. The great emerald's power allows me to feel. I can't see a thing, but it's around somewhere. I'm gonna hold my head, cause I have no fear. This probably seems crazy, crazy. A graveyard theory. Our ghost try to approach me and got leery. Ask him a question and he vanished in a second. I'm walking through valleys, crying pumpkin in the alley. Didn't seem happy, but they sure tried to get me. Had to back him up with a fist metal crackle. I'm hearing someone saying, you a chicken, don't be scared. It had to be the wind, cause nobody wasn't there. I searched and I searched as I climbed. If you like this show, check out The Big Podcast with Check every Monday at Podcast One. And he's not just talking sports. From wacky news stories to dumb entertainment rumors, Shaq is there making fun of it all. Check out The Big Podcast with Shaq at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Also remember to rate and review.
Your yard takes a real beating from the constant wear and tear and overcrowding of weeds leading to weak, thin grass. Achieve the lawn of your dreams by starting the Scotts Turf Builder Program. Keep it simple. With four simple feedings throughout the year, your grass will be thicker, greener, and more resilient. A greener, stronger lawn fights against common problems like weeds and bugs. It also stands up versus heat, drought, and wear and tear. And with Scotts' no-quibble money-back guarantee, if you're not satisfied, you'll get your money back. So take control and give your lawn the boost it deserves. Start your Scotts Turf Builder program today. This is a Scotts Yard.
Let's move on to the Tails and Eggman stages. Basically, this is the Gamma gameplay from Sonic Adventure 1. But again, the stages are sort of more designed around shooting, unlike the Gamma stages were. A few of them were, but this is now just them doubling down on that kind of gameplay.
So these were not my least favorite. The treasure hunting is my least favorite, but when I, you know, reviewed these again, I was like, well, these are just kind of boring platformers, especially with some really cheap jumps, especially if you don't have the before you get hover unlocked. So I don't judge them as harshly as I do the Rouge and Knuckles stages, but yeah.
I will say, though, the people who designed or approved the sound design on these stages should be tortured because you're constantly holding in the button to lock onto things, and the second you touch that button, you start hearing a high-pitched whine. Like, who thought Who said who? I just don't get it.
It's like so awful. Like honestly, the game teaches you essentially at the beginning that you should lock onto as many things at once. You just have it always held down, and then when you get to the space levels, you start like tripping off some airlocks, and it punishes you for
that
something you've been
me.
Doing for like four levels straight.
Oh god!
And it's like really frustrating. And
that's pretty shit.
Yeah. I really dislike these levels. Like the
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to complain about more of these.
Oh,
levels.
Please keep complaining.
So when you're in the pyramid for like Hidden Base and Sand Ocean, like you were talking earlier about how Sonic Adventure 2 is more forgiving about like, oh, if you fall down in your knuckles, like a gust of wind picks you back up. But like you touch sand like once and you're like dead.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really frustrating. And
when you're in the mechs.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially you do the same boss, the egg golem, for Sonic as well as Eggman. And like Sonic, if you fall down to the bottom, you can like just jump a lot and target onto the pulley things to go up. But if you're Eggman, if you touch the sand, like you can't get out. There's like no recovery.
I have not actually gotten that far with Eggman, and that sounds like a nightmare. I just actually finished. That was the last thing I did in the game is beat him with Sonic. But I'm just imagining fighting him with Eggman. That sounds awful.
Yeah, because the level is designed to like. That you should go down to the bottom to avoid the guy's attacks, but like, you just can't really utilize that.
And there are power-ups down there, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's you still have that with Eggman. You just have to like really hope that you land on the platform to like pull yourself back up.
They really like making you all fight the same bosses in these games.
Yeah. I mean, they went to a lot of trouble making that boss. Better use it twice. Like, it's just economical.
Because that one first Bigfoot battle was, like, so creative.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Tails has a driving level in this game. Yeah. And I think that Rouge does, too.
Rouge does
It's not very good.
It takes fucking forever.
Yeah.
It was like, this could be half as long. And this doesn't have to be 3 5-minute laps or something.
It's it's another callback to the great state of California. It's like Route 101 and Route 280, which are like actual roads here, but it's still like as frustrating as it is to drive on those roads here.
As somebody who loves California, I appreciate the references to it, but
not the execution.
Maybe the teams coming over from Japan were just enchanted by all the highways here. Like, yes, let's make a level based on this. Like, there's not a lot of driving in Japan like that.
Yeah, now, I mean, it's also crazy to think now of like, well, Sega would do and or any place would do a AAA level development of a game in San Francisco. Like, that just doesn't, that barely happens now.
There's one studio that does that now?
I mean, technically Ubisoft is still in San Francisco. Yeah. San Francisco proper, like, it's not even, EA just shut down their stuff, some of their people in San Francisco adjacent space, not
right.
even San Francisco.
So do you have anything more to say about the gameplay before we move on to story?
You know, what I... there was also some glitchiness in the boss fights. I do love how I love the introduction of the bosses with their names plus letters just typed across the screen. And then the big fight. But like in the Shadow Chase battle or that kind of ends it, the before the true finale, you just are like, all right, I hit you. No, I definitely hit you. Why did I fly off the edge?
Yeah,
like, there's a lot of
I
that.
Really dislike that boss battle. I think, like, yeah, it's so easy to fall off. And also, it's not very intuitive. Because, like, you hit them, like, 3 times and all of a sudden you can't, like, hit him the same way anymore. And you're supposed to slow down so that he, like, does his attack on you. And then you can get him when he's vulnerable. But, like, you're kind of taught that you should, like, chase him. And nothing really changes in, like, his behavior to teach you that you should do something different.
Yeah, and why would you stop running
you
as Sonic
slow?
Ever?
Yeah.
Like, you're
like,
Sonic.
Yeah, all the rings are there to teach you, like, you should go fast and, like, maybe use the rings to, like, light touch into him. It's
exactly,
so
So the story of this game, it's edgy. It's anime.
It's very anime.
Like, the first... It's very anime. So the first Sonic Adventure was envisioned at first as an RPG. It has a very RPG-style story in terms of what the characters are doing. This is very super anime. And it's very of the time anime where, you know, Shadow's the angsty character and they're rivals fighting each other. And the world is at stake and the president is involved. And I don't understand any part of this story because, like Sonic Adventure 1, it is told... sort of piecemeal between characters. It's a little better than SA1 because with that game, there are 6 characters and their stories are all being told like piecemeal and you have to put it together yourself. Here, it's just like 2 sides, but I still feel like it like slides off my brain. Michelle, what's happening in this game? Apparently, there's some prologue to all of these events that involve some sort of disease that is the
Sonic
catalyst.
AIDS, aka NIDS, neuroimmune deficiency disorder.
That's not tone deaf at all, them putting a reference to AIDS in their game.
They didn't put it in the game. They put
it's true.
It in a pamphlet
true.
Of the game.
That we never saw.
Yeah.
So as far as we know, NIDS is a conspiracy.
It's very much real, and it affects Maria Robotnik, Eggman's niece?
I think she's like a cousin.
But she's the cousin of the grandfather.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the grandfather's something. Yeah, so I guess a TLDR is like, this girl has this disease. Great-grandfather Robotnik wants to cure it, so he makes this deal with Black Doom. This is kind of like backstory revealed in Shadow the Hedgehog, but he makes the ultimate life form, which is Shadow. He's locked away for 50 years. All this stuff happens. And then, like, where you pick up in Sonic Adventure 2 is that Eggman's, like, trying to do his Eggman thing and destroy the world. He finds Shadow, and then Shadow, like, helps him do that. Eventually, they decide to blow up the moon, which is amazing. It's canon in the series. From then on out, like, every time you see the moon, they ask the director of this game, like, why is it, like, normal? Like, they blew it up. And he just said that it just turned around. So you see the normal part, as if that's, like, a reasonable answer.
The science does not check out on that.
It's my favorite thing.
He had to make up, he just had to make up an answer on the spot, I guess. It's like, oh,
I love
it.
It's, like, the most ridiculous thing ever.
It's about as sensical as the Zelda timeline. Just saying, oh, the moon spun around. It's fine.
Yeah, it just split.
And so Shadow has been freed, and so people think Sonic is Shadow, though they look nothing alike other than being hedgehogs, which that's discrimination.
It's kind of like Super Mario Sunshine when you think about it. Like, Mario and Shadow Mario is what it reminds me of.
Which just beat Mario Sunshine to the market by like a year and 2 months. So really, Mario ripped off Sonic in a lot of ways, is what I'm saying.
Though, at least in Sunshine, Peach kind of recognizes it's not Mario, versus Amy like tries to hug Shadow, and she's like, wait, you're not Sonic.
It takes being with like 2 inches away from him to be like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. I guess there is only one giant humanoid hedgehog in the universe that they live
in. That's fair. Yeah. So, well, Amy's a hedgehog.
Oh, that's true. Maybe
she's less popular.
One male hedgehog in the universe. Wait, no, Knuckles is an echidna. Okay. That checks out. Yeah. Please continue. I want to know more about the story. Where it goes.
So Eggman's like trying to take over the world. He blows up the moon. He gives the president an ultimatum. The president is known as the president, by the way, in this universe. Just, that's his name. And, you know, like, surrender the world to me, and otherwise I'll blow up the Earth. And it's kind of interesting. The president of the United Federation has jurisdiction over the entire planet, I guess so. But Sonic and his friends try to save the day, and in the hero mode they do, in the dark mode they do not. Also, on the dark story, you have like Shadow and Eggman like trying to take over the world, and then Rouge is supposedly helping them get the pieces of the Master Emerald, while Shadow is and Eggman are getting the Chaos Emeralds. But she's also working for the government, and that's just a little fun fact on the side that like at the end of every cutscene, she's just talking to the president. She's like, "Yeah, they're talking about like this Maria chick, and like they're doing something, I guess." And
so
she's right.
Rouge can vote and has the same rights as you, then, right? She's an American citizen.
It seems so. Well,
probably. I mean, like, you'd have to be to work for the government, so yeah.
Well, she's an Earth citizen. He's not the president of America, right? He's the president of Earth.
Yeah, federations.
So, the collection of Chaos Emeralds are kind of a secondary thing here. They just kind of happen in story points. You don't really collect, well, in stages other than Knuckles' stages, you don't even really collect them. They're just around.
My favorite is when Tails made the fake one, and then he's like trying to hand it over to Eggman. He's like, "Oh, how did you know that one's fake? You just told me, Fox boy." Like, fucking got him. Like,
yeah, Tails kills Sonic. It's best. Like, he's like, "How did you know?" Yeah, you told me. I love how long they that scene especially. I love how long they make you wait and think about it. Like, he says, "Well, give me that emerald, and I'll kill them." He's like, Sonic just says out loud, it seems like, "I've got the fake emerald right here. Well, I'll hand it to him. Two birds with one stone. Yep, that's going to work.
I'm so clever."
And the voice acting, everyone just loves in this game. It's... I actually do really think it's charming. Like, I know it's bad, but at this point, it's just like, I look at it through such an affectionate lens.
I do like how they didn't solve the problem of the audio, the music being way louder than all the voices.
Yeah.
And, like, they're screaming over, like, a rock concert happening 2 feet away from them.
That's the only thing I don't get. Like, obviously, like, okay, they didn't want to redo the lip syncing for the American version. Like, sure, I get it. It's probably like more effort, but for like the audio mixing of just turning down the music a bit, like, I think we could just do that. Like,
we have the technology.
At least in the GameCube remake, it's like, okay, now we can just turn down this audio just a little bit.
I'll tell you, in the 2012 HD remake, it's
pretty bad.
Yeah, it's still like the way it was.
I mean, the lip sync is off because it was only lip sync for Japanese, which is hard enough in, Well, that's a thing in localization, though. That's a problem for, or an issue to get around in anime all the time, but they seem to just like, no, they're going to say all these words. We're going to record them. We're not going to even try to match the lip sync. So they're just going to talk over each other all the time.
I'll make you eat those words.
One of the, I did an interview a while back for US Gamer with one of the people who localized Final Fantasy X, and this was a common problem of the era when not as much attention was paid to localization, in that when they were localizing the spoken dialogue for Final Fantasy X, both the they could not change the lip flaps, and the audio file had to be the exact same length as the Japanese audio file. And they found that out like very late in development, so they had to re-record and rewrite a lot of things. So
good lord.
Check that out on US Gamer. I think it's called Tales from Localization Hell, something like that.
That does sound like
Localization Hell. It was this year. It was like basically this year that Final Fantasy X came out. What's the better game? I don't know. What are we missing for the story? I know there's like the Ark and things like that.
Yeah, so the Ark is the space station where Grandfather Robotnik, I call him that because, I mean, there's two Robotniks when you think about it. Mm-hmm. He was there like trying to get the cure for NIDS for his beautiful cousin, something.
Sure.
And so he was doing his work there, and he was technically kind of sponsored by the government, but they didn't realize what he was like using his work for. And in the flashbacks that you see in the game, that's the United Federation / Gun, which you see like everything is like labeled Gun in this game. They storm the Ark, and that's when Maria like sacrifices herself to save Shadow so he can help the people of Earth be happy. And
so he thought he remembered it as her telling him to get revenge and kill all humans.
Yeah, please give them a chance to be happy. That's pretty easy to misinterpret.
I mean, his brain was pretty scrambled, I guess.
Yeah, so the Ark was like taken over by Gun, like all this was shut down, and then Shadow was launched to Earth and like lost for 50 years. And then you get close to the end of the game, they're kind of like uncovering all this stuff like as you go. You have like name drops of Maria as like Shadow remembers her and she's a password for everything. Rouge is reporting back to the government with that. And then eventually you find out towards the end that technically the ultimate life form could have been the Bio Lizard, which is the big bad for the game when you unlock the last story.
What's his name? It's like Fatal something or Fatal Hazard?
It's like Fatal Hazard, but it's also Bio Lizard. It's like he has a two stages, so the first one is Bio Lizard.
So the ultimate life form is a giant dinosaur covered in weak points. It could be the ultimate life form.
Yeah, and the final fight is like basically a Dragon Ball Z fight. They're flying in space. They're both flying in space, and it's like almost like air combat when you're fighting the last
boss.
Yeah,
it's like an up-down kind of mechanic, but the song is so good.
The song rocks.
You don't even care.
Yeah, I mean, it's just supposed to be experienced.
It really is.
It's not a speed runny type thing. It's just like, I this is my payoff for getting through both storylines.
Yeah.
And getting to see the true ending. And again, it's very, in Dragon Ball, you don't go Super Saiyan by collecting all 7 Dragon Balls, but it's, you know.
Yeah, they can only steal so much.
And also, you get to see them as, you needed an extra payoff. You got to see Super Sonic at the end of Adventure 1, so you got to up the ante, so you need 2 Super Sonics at the end of this one.
They're friends now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so much better than the final Chaos boss battle of in Sonic Adventure 1, when you clear everyone's story and you have to fight Final Chaos, it's like it's not anywhere near as exciting, and I really dislike. I mean, the gameplay for both of the boss battles aren't great, but at least like it feels like way bigger.
I'd say. On the whole, I'd say the bosses are better in this game. I'm not a huge fan of them, but conceptually they're better and they think of more interesting things for you to do. Like I just replayed Sonic Adventure 1. A lot of the bosses were just like, easily hit them 3 times. Just jump in the air and then hit the button again 3 times and you win. That's like what a lot of the bosses are, especially with the Gamma character. The bosses are so easy with that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just lock on fire, lock on fire, lock on fire. You won.
Yeah, and especially, I know they reuse boss battles for the Hero and Dark Story for this game, but it's not as bad as Sonic Adventure 1, where I think you try to battle Chaos 4 with 3 different characters. That's when the mystery
happens. Oh, you wait forever. So I forgot about that. Yeah.
I do really like the Boo boss, the ghost
King
boss.
Boom Boo, the guy for the pyramid levels with Knuckles. I really like that boss too.
Conceptually, it's really cool. I feel like it could be designed better because that window, like, again, the camera fucks you when...
It does, when
so,
he, like, turns around, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to shine light in the room, and then the ghost turns into a shadow, and then you have to drill into the shadow to mm-hmm. reveal the ghost. The camera kept flipping around on me, and I kept losing the ghost, so that was the only thing. I mean, it's... The boss fight was well-designed. The camera just gets in the way.
The camera's really difficult for the game in general, and, like, again, it's something where, like, if you've played it 100 times, which I kind of have, like I don't mind it as much, or, like, I've gotten used to it, but, like... Like anyone who's new to it, just like it completely fucks them over. You're gonna die like a bunch because you're just not gonna see it coming.
Oh, and another very anime thing about the game too that I love actually in right now is when you finish each of the stories, you get like a trailer for the other story you should play. And when you get the trailer for the final arc, it may as well be a preview for an Evangelion episode. It's like truth, light, dark, and shadow. What is it? Find out.
Sonic is sitting in a chair. People are applauding for him.
I will say, like, the last story, I think, does, like, a great job of, like, even if you hate the shooter levels, like, they make it, like, it feels, like, way better. And, like, they kind of change up the way the treasure hunting works, too, because you're just, like, finding the switch. You're not, like, finding emeralds. And I think they put it all together in, like, a really great way.
In which game?
Oh, in Sonic Adventure 2, the last story in Cannon's Core.
Okay,
like, that one, like, long level where it's, like, a little bit of everyone's gameplay.
I did not make it there. I don't know if I ever will. are we missing anything in the story? I think I watched the ending, at least, and it's, like, implied that Shadow is dead. I mean, Shadow came back. Like, what is the connection between this game and Sonic, Shadow the Hedgehog? And, like, wasn't Shadow also in Sonic Heroes, the next game?
Yeah, so, essentially... So Shadow, like, falls to the earth.
Right.
He died for our sins, and now he's gone. But then everyone loved him so much, so they were like, okay, let's bring him back. For Sonic Heroes, I never got through a full playthrough, but I know that, like, it starts with, like, he has amnesia, and it is implied that there's, like, a bunch of clones of him. In Shadow the Hedgehog, you find, like, a lot of... I like the ambition behind the game, where it has, like branching paths, which they thought about doing for Sonic Adventure 2, and then they were like, oh, we can't pull this off yet, let's wait. And they couldn't really pull it off for Shadow the Hedgehog either, but...
Is it sort of like a morality system in Shadow the Hedgehog?
It's, I never played it. It's like Mass Effect, but with Shadow the Hedgehog. And though there are like 14 different endings versus Mass Effect has like 3. So good on Shadow.
Well, give it a Sega there.
We'll bring you back for Shadow because I am now intrigued. I mean, that was the era.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
In that era, everything was being infected by Grand Theft Auto. So even Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, and
like I can think of that and like Jack and Dax... Jack and Daxter? Yeah, Jack and Daxter. Like, a lot of games were like, now this is going to be violent with guns and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think when they were making Shadow the Hedgehog, they were, like, looking at fan letters, and they were like, one of the number one things was like, let's give Sonic a gun. They're like, okay, we can't give Sonic a gun, but we can give Shadow a gun. Like, he's edgy enough to pull it off.
No, that's the weird way to take that of like, well, we can't impugn the character of Shadow of Sonic, but we definitely should make a game where a hedgehog has a gun.
Especially in America.
What people want. Yeah, I think. I mean, they got stuck in the same thing a lot of developers did in the mid-2000s of an assumed want of what a Western audience had in mind, and then finding out, like, no, the Western audience, at least your most diehards, love the anime bullshit. Yeah. They want that. Mm-hmm. They want more of it. And it took them a while to really figure that out. I mean, Heroes, I guess, has that a little bit, but Heroes also, that when I played, I remember when Heroes was the next one, I'm just thinking... This whole game is shitty friends. They're just upfront about it. Like, no, you're always going to be the shitty friends. It's all three shitty friends at once.
We found the shitty friends you forgot about.
I have, like, real beef with that game because when I played it when I was younger, like, I played as Team Rose because I was like, oh, I like female characters. And, of course, like, that's the one where Omochao, like, mansplains everything to you.
No.
It's like, it has all, it's like the quote-unquote female coded team. It's like, all the levels are shorter. Omochao just, like, hands everything to you. And I fucking hate Omochao. Everyone who's played Sonic Adventure 2 hates Omochao, rightfully. But it's just like a lot more frustrating, and I didn't love it. But yeah, so Shadow comes back and like all of these games, and it just kind of like undid the end of Sonic Adventure 2. They were just like, oh, he survives. He doesn't remember anything.
I assume fans weren't mad. I think the one gift that Shadow gave to us was all of the photos of games journalists being assassinated by the Shadow the Hedgehog statue. There's like a famous Shadow the Hedgehog statue of him like pointing a gun down at nothing, and people just love to get on their hands and knees with their hands
just
behind their head. Yeah,
I don't have the picture anymore, but I think I did pose with that at like one time when I got to visit the Sega building as well.
I think when we were you there with me when Sega had a party,
yes,
and they were like,
yeah,
"We still exist. Come see our building." Could they just move buildings? Do you know if they're still there?
Boy, I would bet they might be. It was not a small it was not a big building.
That's true,
and they sell enough, you know, PC games to keep it going.
I think Michelle can live her dream of being killed by Shadow now.
That would be great.
Or at least a
Someone's
statue.
Someone's got to do it.
Let's move on to the Chao Garden. So I know nothing about this. What we learned in the last episode about Sonic Adventure 1 is that this was put in because this was a lot of the people who made the game Nights into Dreams, and Chao Garden is an extension of the A-Life, artificial life, sort of kind of Tamagotchi-ish thing that they put into Nights.
Time.
Yeah, and this was an extension of that, and this is even an advancement of what happened in Sonic Adventure 1, and it was put in by the director because he's like, I want people who can't play action games to have something to do when they play this game. Mm. Unfortunately, you have to do a lot of reading to figure out like what is even going on here. There's like an in-game school where you go like to different classrooms to learn how to raise Chao. So you must be at least literate to play the Chao Garden. But you were way into it. This is so intriguing.
I was really into it.
Yeah.
I had this game as a kid. I loved like all of the like gameplay stuff, but also the Chao's like, I mean, it was just like everyone loved Tamagotchis, and it was like kind of a really like fleshed out version of that. There was this one Chao forum site that I loved. It's called Chao Island, chao.hippotank.com. This is a plug for them. Thank you for all of their service to me over the years. But I think it was just like really fleshed out versus like Sonic Adventure 1 was kind of like, here's a concept, like the gardens aren't very great. You have like these little things and you feed them stuff, and that's kind of all there is. But now like, they have like stats and you can like evolve them. There's a lot to like the different evolutions I found interesting. Like, they look different depending on what is like their most recent stat you upped right before you evolve them. Obviously there's like the dark light thing, cause you can have like a hero Chao or like a devil Chao. You have like Chao heaven and Chao hell.
Wow.
It opens up a lot more Chao options
morality
than before. Yeah.
What about the, so do you feed the, or what do you still use the animals and things you collect in the stages to like grow the Chaos in different ways? Is that how that works?
Yeah. This game also introduced the idea of like the Chao drives, which like those like weird rod things that fall out of enemies. That's the first time you see them in this game.
I was wondering what those were, because in this game at least they try to make this less optional, because when you finish a stage they shove you into the Chao Garden
if you get the Chao key.
I guess I got them all on every stage then, because
you don't have to get those, so I usually did. I really liked the Chao raising. I think like they had like a lot going on, and it was very much like that feeling of like kids like passing down rumors about like how to get Mew and like Pokemon. Like no one was like really sure of things, and people like, and they're so time consuming to do all the different like evolution things. Like you can pass something from like Sonic Adventure 1 through Tiny Chao Garden to Sonic Adventure 2, and then like if you evolve it like two cycles, which takes a long time, then it'll do something. And it's like to get like the Chaos Chao, you have to go through I think two evolutions, and it's I liked it. That was really fun.
It was reminiscent to me of the Chocobo breeding from Seven, Final Fantasy VII. Though I played around with it a tiny bit. My brother was the obsessive. My little brother, he was frequenting those Chao forums as well, going to GameFAQs all the time. Of like, no, how do I breed the ultimate Chao? And like replaying stages over and over again. I remember him redoing one stage a million times of like, I have to get this one animal. I have to. Like it was a smart way of them building in replayability to the game as well, just to like
to memorize those levels,
to memorize levels, and to search for every secret, yeah, to find the specific animal you got to take back to the Chao Garden to then get to have a complete set if you wanted that.
Did the Chaos have functionality outside of the Chao Garden? Did they do anything into the add anything to the main game?
Not
by
to
like
the main game, but you could do the mini games. Like there's Chao Karate and Chao Racing.
And did you actually? So you played the GameCube version. Then there was like a Game Boy Advance connectivity. Yeah. Did you do that too?
Yeah, I had a Sonic Advance too. And I'm not sure if this is cute or pathetic, but I would. When I was like young, I would really like my Chao, so I would put them onto my tiny Chao Garden and then bring my Game Boy SP to school with me so I could have my Chaos and like do the little mini games on the go.
That's
and then
cute.
I brought them back.
If you were like 53 years old.
No, I think it was in like second grade.
Okay,
so I think
that makes
okay.
it cute. It's officially cute.
No, my brother did that too, but with VMUs. He had done it all on the Dreamcast, so when he got to do the VMU stuff, first in Adventure and then in Adventure 2. And I think that's why even when we got it on the GameCube, and we definitely had those GameCube connectors
because
we were stupid and wasted money on those things.
Hey, but at least they made at least five games better.
Yes, yeah. We had a great time with the Final Fantasy game. But he didn't play it like that because he had gotten all chowed out on Dreamcast. He didn't want to continue it there. And for him, it didn't feel the same without the VMU because VMU, functionality-wise, for a Chao just was a Tamagotchi. Even fancier, really.
It wasn't like too fleshed out in the tiny Chao Garden, honestly. I just like the idea of like bringing them with me because I was that kid.
But, I mean, colors are cooler than little digital black
That's
and white
fair.
Stuff
on
a VMU. Yeah.
And you don't have to buy a new watch battery every 3 hours to power that thing. Man, like I think everyone's lasted 2 weeks before they realized what they were in for. Like, wait, what's this beeping? What's going on?
Yeah, kids today, you don't understand this. How lucky you are with all these rechargeable batteries for everything.
Now there's a Chao app. I mean, the Chao's ever go into any other song? I mean, did they just end here, this sort of interactivity with Chao's?
There was like some Chao's for like mobile games. The biggest things are like the adventures is the one people play a lot. Honestly, I don't know too much about the other gardens, though. If I went to Chao Island, shout out hippotank.com.
They're still around?
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
actually,
wow.
I looked them up to prep for this episode, and they're like, they had like an update a week ago. I also like their site because they had like these printable like origami papercraft things, so you could like make little foldable like Chao things, and I really liked that as a kid.
The Chao as well. My little brother, he also obsessively played PSO around the same time, and your mag, you could get a Chao mag as well. He worked real hard to get that walking around with him.
Very cute. So I guess anything else to say about the game before we go into final questions? I know you had a lot of notes, Michelle. I don't know if we covered everything in it, but this is the time to do it. So do you have anything else you wanted to mention?
You can find Big the Cat cameos.
Yes.
And everything except for the GameCube port, which is fucked up.
You're furious about that.
Okay, well, actually,
he's
do have...
He's the purple character. Why is he not, and he's not on the GameCube? That's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, okay, I actually do have beef. I, like, didn't realize that I do have beef. But in Wild... Okay, so there's a Big the Cat cameo in, like, every level because everyone hated him so much in the first game that they kind of put him in out of spite, is the story I heard.
That's right.
So they put him... They took him out of the GameCube version, then they put him back into the HD ports, but not all of them. All of the cameos are there except for the one in Wild Canyon, and I got really mad because I wanted to hunt down every single one, and I didn't realize he wasn't there, so I spent like 45 minutes to an hour with my friend just like trying, like, we knew where he was supposed to be, and we were like, maybe we just can't reach that high. Maybe it's like a glitch.
What a weird omission. But on all those cameos, he's like being injured in some way or in trouble. Like, he's the two that I saw when I was playing. He gets run over by the truck in the first level.
I think he's on the sidewalk.
In the sidewalk.
Okay. Well, we don't really know.
Maybe I just wanted him to get run over by the truck.
He's near that truck. That truck is get close
he's
to him.
He's in jail for like three of them. He's like behind bars in Aquatic Mine and Prison Lane for sure.
And the one that I liked the most was in the Tails space stage. He is like looking into the shuttle from outside in deep space.
God,
like he's dying.
Lock him up.
That kind of pettiness does remind me of the stories of the in the Console Wars book when they talked about how Sonic Team really wanted Tails to be Miles Prower.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, he's Tails. That name's stupid. And they're like, fine. And then they just had graffiti of Miles written on the in stages and two.
Yeah.
Just as like, F you. You made us get rid of this guy.
I love that passive aggression.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's about it for the main notes I have.
Okay. Let's go to the final question. I will ask Michelle first because she's a 3D Sonic expert here. Mm-hmm. How did the 3D Sonic games improve after this? And do you think they did? And what did Sonic Team learn, do you think, from this game and the reception? Because I feel like people were still angry about Sonic Adventure after this.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I think that's like a big question. Because in some ways, I really do like how fast Sonic Adventure 2 moves. Like, let's talk about just the, like, Sonic stages, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So for that gameplay, like, in future games, like, I wasn't as satisfied with how it felt. Like, I really like Generations, but I think it felt a bit slower. I think the homing and the boost mechanic, I really disliked that.
Yeah.
If you guys remember that. So, like, I think there's, like, some things that kind of made it a bit clunkier, which was... not my favorite. And like there have been like a lot of 3D Sonics after this. Like
there are like nine more, yeah. Probably.
Like the level design, I like the level designs for the Sonic levels in Sonic Adventure, but like in Shadow the Hedgehog, in like Sonic 06, in even like Sonic Forces, like a more recent one, like something that comes to mind. Like it wasn't as wasn't as fast. I think it slowed down a bit in my opinion, but please don't get mad at me.
Yeah, no, I feel like they just kept trying. For every 3D Sonic after this one, they just kept trying to rebuild the box every time. Mm-hmm. And they would keep some things that were good, but toss out other good stuff and add new bad things while getting rid of other bad things. And it was just this continual dance. I talked about it before, the Sonic cycle, everybody's heard of it. But the closest I felt like they got to figuring it out, and maybe this is just my Nintendo bias, but it was the exclusive Nintendo ones like Colors and Lost World. I think those really figured out more, and maybe that's because they were also thought they were aiming it at a younger audience, so they didn't have to feel like they needed the grown-up things in it, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the 3D Sonics like did suffer from like trying to have too much gimmick to them. Like Sonic Unleashed, the one where they make him a werehog.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of like weird mechanics, and like even like Forces like have like someone else playable, and it's not like Sonic Adventure 2 like was great. Like the gimmick was like the other like play styles and the other characters,
or the goofy motion control stuff in like Sonic and the Black Knight
and Sonic and the Secret Rings, which is so unplayable.
Yeah, that's...
I really tried with that one. I thought it would be funny to play like a game where like Tails is Alibaba canonically, or like Shadow is Lancelot, and I thought that it would all be fun. And
I didn't know this.
Generations got the closest, but that was just because they were like I said, they were remaking other stages. And I think the funniest moment for me as an early Sonic fan who felt aged out of it was when they did a sort of reboot with Boom, and then seeing people who grew up with Adventure going like, what's this Boom shit? This is not Sonic to me. I was like, now you know how I felt in 1999.
Welcome to adulthood.
Yes.
Everything is bad. Welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I didn't play a lot of the 3D Sonic games because I'm a snob and I'm a Mario lover, but I did like Generations a lot. It's a very safe game, but I feel like I don't mind them repackaging the best levels and like refurbishing them. If they did that again, I'd like it too. So like, I didn't play Forces. Our friend Jeremy reviewed it. Apparently, it's not very good. And I wish them the best, but I still feel like they still have not completely figured out 3D Sonic yet. It's still something they still are trying to crack, and I don't know if they ever will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do honestly like really love this game. Like everything like I said that is negative about it, like I still like look at it through such like a nostalgic and like loving lens.
Oh, yeah.
And I play through it like all the time, like way too much. But yeah, I agree. I think there's definitely work they can do, which is kind of interesting. Like this was like their first experience, like Sonic Adventure 1 and Sonic Adventure 2 is like that's like essentially the first 3D Sonics. Like there's like Sonic R and something else that's technically 3D but it doesn't count, but
3D Blast is right in the title. And it's
hard to be too judgy because you're right, they're still learning to make these games.
It's the first time like Sonic had like a voice actor and everything like that, so it's definitely new. I'm kind of surprised it's been like 10 years or something like that, or probably way more.
It's been
17. Time is very fake, but it's been so long, and I really also agree that I don't think they've found it. And everyone's always like, where's Sonic Adventure 3? Like, I don't know if that's necessarily the solution, but just be a little less gimmicky.
Maybe 2019, that's the next one. Like, they go back to every well. Like, they did Sonic 4, and they're like, okay, wait, no, okay, what if Sonic 4 Episode 2 was really Sonic CD Part 2. Do you like that? I think they'll just try to reset every time. I know friend of the show, Retronauts friend of the show, Chris Kohler, has made the point of like, Sonic is for more kids than Mario even is, and he should just be on phones because that's where kids are.
Which he is.
Yeah.
Sonic Adventure Runner.
Honestly, like he should just be in a runner game. Like, that's made for him. Like, the best parts of, like, City Escape, that's a runner, man.
Pretty much, yeah. People, I watched a video that was comparing it to Pepsi Man, which is just, like, running straight in line. But, yeah. I think you're right that, you know, they might even... Adventure 3 might be the next one because... It's wildly speculating here. I feel like Sonic Generations was the game for 90s kids who grew up on the 2D Sonics and hated the 3D Sonics, so they tried to meet us halfway. And maybe the people who grew up on Adventure have been waiting for a new adventure, and they're going to give it to them now that they're all grown up and want to buy their childhoods back. That's how all this works, ultimately. Yes.
Again, a thing of making me feel old of like, when Generations came out, it was the 20th anniversary. Now we're like 7 years past that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oof. Yeah. Everyone's world dying, so thanks for listening. You're wasting your valuable time left.
I feel like I make most Retronauts about how much time has passed now. It's depressing.
We've helped you get through another hour. Before we wrap up, let's have Michelle tell us where we can find her. And I got to say, follow her on Twitter because she's the meme master.
Oh, thank you.
Posting about Waluigi. And we didn't even talk about this. Apparently, this is like a peak level of horniness for Eggman.
Oh, my God. I sent Bob my notes earlier.
Yes.
And it was like 5 pages. And the very first bullet point is that Eggman is the horniest character in this game, closely followed by Rouge. And I do feel very strongly about that.
Can you, I know we're wrapping up, but can you justify this? Because yeah. I looked at that thread and I was like, I was skeptical and now I'm a believer. So I want you to convince our audience.
I have like one reason, and it's just, this game is literally about Eggman penetrating the moon, and that's kind of fucked up. Yeah. And then Rouge is also like super sexy, but I will say that I think that's, the lens of the male gaze
that's true
being cast upon her.
It's all of us playing the game.
It's the game.
Rouge is about the money, she's about treasure, or she's about working for the president.
To be fair, she's also a little bit about Knuckles in that one cut scene.
Yeah,
there's a lot of tension in that.
That's true.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Well, but she was calling him basically a perv for like,
that's true.
She's like, oh, you just wanted to grab
she
my hand
back. it was like a lot of mixed
that look
signals
back, yes.
Honestly.
And I thought she at least had like a friendship with Shadow. She's like, I don't know. Are you it? He's like, it doesn't matter.
I think they're on the same team in Heroes, and she like kind of looks out for him.
I believe it. I mean, I believe the Robotnik stuff or Eggman stuff because like his Freudian goals are very phallocentric. He is penetrating
he
the moon.
Really is,
yeah.
Well, after exploding a dick out of
Freudian.
An asteroid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after that, please tell us where we can find you online. I know you're on
for
Twitter.
This content.
Yes.
Yeah,
this is the kind of content you'll be signing up for.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm on Twitter at MiexRier, which is MiexRier. If you spelled that out for yourself, good job.
So as for me, I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. And by the way, Retronauts is a Patreon-supported podcast. We're doing these extra episodes because you pay for them, so thank you so much for paying for those. And if you want to support the show at the $3 level, if you go to patreon.com/retronauts, if you sign up at the $3 level, you can get every episode a week ahead of time and ad-free and at a higher bitrate. I think that's the ideal version of Retronauts to listen to, and I don't think we ask for a lot for all of the content we give you every month. So please go to patreon.com/retronauts. And you can sign up for just $3 and get all the content a week ahead of time and higher quality, no ads. And Henry will talk for the next 10 minutes about what we do together.
Well, yes, Bob.
I can take some of this, by the way.
No. Well, let's see. Bob and I are busy boys on the podcast circuit doing, if you like this talk about old cartoons or at least the Dragon Ball chat, Bob and me do tons of old cartoon talk, all supported at patreon.com/talkingsimpsons. Not only do we go through every episode of The Simpsons in chronological order from the beginning, and we are getting past the midpoint of season 7, we also just launched another brand new podcast called What a Cartoon, where we go through a different cartoon each week.
I could talk about that. Henry usually has all the plugs, but there's so many now they might kill him. We do What a Cartoon every week. Launches every Monday, and if you support Talking Simpsons at the $5 level, just like with Retronauts, you get every episode of a cartoon a week ahead of time and ad-free, And it's a great podcast. We're having lots of fun doing it. We've done episodes on Batman the Animated Series, Ren and Stimpy, Steven Universe, Kill la Kill. Yes, we talk about anime. We're finally free. We can talk about anime without being hit.
It happened. And if you are a big Simpsons fan or just a fan of the work of Matt Groening, then also exclusive on our Patreon is Talking Futurama, where we've been going through the entire first season of Futurama, one episode at a time. It's there at just the $5 level. You get even more cool stuff at $10 a month. Check it out at patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons, or at least put Talking Simpsons or What a Cartoon into your podcast app of choice.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you Monday for a new full-length episode. See you then.
With Domino's week-long carry-out deal, you can carry out large three-topping pizzas and now medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas for $7.99 each. It's pantastic news.
Cut. Puns?
You mean pans? Calling all pan addicts for two layers of cheese on crispy golden crust. So grab your panty packs, because Domino's large three-topping pizzas and medium three-topping handmade pan pizzas are $7.99 each. It's pandemonium. Pantastico. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The Mueller Report. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. President Trump was asked at the White House if Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report should be released next week when he will be out of town.
I guess from what I understand, that will be totally up to the Attorney General.
Maine's Susan Collins says she would vote for a congressional resolution disapproving of President Trump's emergency declaration to build a border wall, becoming the first Republican senator to publicly back it. In New York, the wounded supervisor of a police detective killed by friendly fire was among the mourners attending his funeral. Detective Brian Simonson was killed as officers started shooting at a robbery suspect last week. Commissioner James O'Neill was among the speakers today at Simonson's funeral.
It's a tremendous weight to bear, knowing that your choices will directly affect the lives of others. But cops like Brian don't shy away from it. It's the very foundation of who they are and what they do.
The robbery suspect and a man police say acted as his lookout have been charged with murder. I'm Ed Donahue.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.